on, bro.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Are we even excited to be here?
Yes.
I'd like to be too quiet in Kenya.
Come on.
You know, but this is a. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah,
I'm very glad to be here. I know it's always very tough midweek. I've had a long day.
Yeah.
You know, you should be happy that I'm here. Well, I'll be happy when you're happy that you're here.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we can't allow the pressures of the day.
Yeah.
You know, just completely wipe us out.
Yeah.
We gotta like just, you know, steal our joy.
Come
you
on.
Know, but I mean, it's good to see every single one of you.
Woo!
Excited for just, you know, the looks on your faces.
Woo!
Woo! You know, it was encouraging to hear all of the good news. I mean, my good news, of course, number one, was the fact that it wasn't just the fact that we got our visas extended.
Yeah.
It was the speed of time.
Okay.
That one. I settled my mind. At least 2 hours. You know, at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
We didn't spend 30 minutes in
Yanyu
House. We didn't spend 30 minutes in Yanyu House. That even surprises Kenyans. More than it does. You see, I'll send my phone away back. I said, you know what? Our travels around Africa has taught me that Nigerians don't have anything to brag about.
That's true.
We don't have anything to brag about.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. So it's always very important to me when I come to, you know, a country and you have power maybe 29 days out of the year. Maybe there's that one day when maybe power goes out, maybe power outage for like maybe an extended, maybe 8 hours or something. And then I hear like, man, this can be happening. This is ridiculous. And I'm like, the reverse is the situation in my country. For 29 days in a month, there's no power. Or if you count up the number of the length of hours they give you power in an entire month, it adds up to 8 hours.
Oh,
yeah, so if you don't have a power generator, like my wife is here. If you don't have a power generator, even my in-laws, where they used to live was like a prime area, right? If the power goes, you know that maybe at least in the next 2, 3, 4 hours max, it will come back. Our last visit home, nothing. Nothing. Ah, it was tough. Family, you see, that's the thing, you know. Sometimes we even need to just leave where we are to be able to realize how much we have.
Yes.
You know, you leave where you are to realize, wow, what you guys have this year? You know, I remember the Kamansis being here. Like, you know, the internet in Kenya is rubbish. So what do you mean? Like, you know, internet in Rwanda is... When they left, they got there... Maybe they got on Saturday, they got there on Sunday, Monday, Christian sent me a screenshot of the speed test.
Wow.
But look at the internet here, bro.
Yeah.
So it's okay now. They want to relocate to Rwanda. You know. But family, it's great to be with you tonight. Please turn our Bibles to Matthew 21. Last week we started a series on the book of Nehemiah, right? And we talked about what it means to be a builder. Are you qualified to be a builder? You know, one of the things that we saw there was in Nehemiah chapter 2, where Nehemiah, after inspecting the state of the walls, after just going around and inspecting them, then he decides to tell the people what they were there to do. Right? If you look in Nehemiah chapter 2 there, in verse 18, it says, I also told them, actually verse 17, it says, then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me, and what the king has said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. You know, don't turn to Nehemiah, turn to Matthew that I told you to turn to. Stay in Matthew, okay? Stay in Matthew. So, we see here in Nehemiah 2, Nehemiah tells them, look, this is what I came here to do. This is what God has put on my heart. This is what the king has even mandated me to do. And they were like, man, this is fantastic. This is great. They tell him, let's start building. And they began the good work. But you see, right, one thing we have to understand, I mean, obviously, I hope you were encouraged by the lesson last week.
Yeah.
Like, man, I'm part of the builder. I need to be one of the builders. You know, but you see, one thing you realize with life is that saying we are going to do something is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually doing it is another.
That's true.
In Matthew 21, Right, there's the parable of the two sons that Jesus gives.
Okay.
All right. For if you know the story, you know what I'm talking about already. If you don't, Matthew 21, if you look at verse 28 to verse 30, mm-hmm. we're not going to read the whole thing. Verse 28 to verse 30, of course, it says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went." Isn't that always amazing when you go and reach out to someone and they tell you, "I don't study the Bible, I'm not interested." And then one day, months later, they give you a ring. Or months later, they just walk into the church without you inviting them.
Yeah.
And then they're like, "That Bible study you're talking about, is it, do you guys still do it?" I'm always like, "We never stopped." Just because you said no, didn't mean that we stopped having Bible studies with people. But that was encouraging. Someone that tells you no, and later they tell you, let me give it a try.
Yeah.
You know? It always feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But then there's the other type. In verse 30, it says, "Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go." I'm sure if the first one encouraged you, like, wow, God just brought them back. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the second one produces a different kind of feelings inside of you.
Yeah.
Would you like to study the Bible? Of course. It's amazing. Why not?
Yeah.
When are you free? Tuesday. 12 o'clock. You know, we don't even need to have it online. We'll do it in person.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tuesday comes. 11 o'clock, as I get ready to leave the house, you message them, "I'm on my way." So I will say, "We'll meet." And they're like, "Ah, I'm not around. I'm not available. My leg is aching me. It looks, why are you, why do you stay? Is it raining on your side? It looks like it's about to, I think it will rain." And you're like, "You said you want to do this Bible study." "Yeah, yes. Just because I'm not around today doesn't mean I don't want to do the Bible studies." You know, it's always very funny, right? Super, super funny. But you see, that tends to happen. This parable shows us, you know, that is a son who said he would go, but he didn't go. Right? It is one thing to say we will put the Bible into practice. It's another thing altogether to actually go and do it. You know, it's one thing to say, "I'll go and share my faith and I'll follow up with this person." It's another thing to actually do it. It's one thing to say, "I will give up everything for God and His kingdom. Whatever it is, I'm going to give up. It doesn't matter, I'm going to cut it down." One of the things that blew me away was when there was still talk of planting the Zambia church. There was this brother somewhere in the kingdom. I'm not gonna blow up his spot. You know, I reached out to him, "Bro, this is the plan." And I was like, "Bro, you don't need to talk extensively to convince me, bro. But when it's time, just call me, I'm there. Bro, count me in, bro. First on the team, bro."
Okay.
He was so fired up that my disciple was so fired up when he was telling me about it. Like, "Bro, he has told me no problem." I said, "Whatever we need, bro, it's there, bro. Call him, connect with him, bro. It's gonna be amazing, bro."
Let's go.
Come on.
So I called him and I spoke to the brother. I'm like, "Bro, bro, I'm just looking forward to see the bro." I said, plans have to change. "Bro, we are going to go and scout. We're going to..." "Oh, is it? Oh, okay, bro. Oh, okay, bro." When he said, "Okay," I just picked up my phone, called my disciple. "Have you spoken to this brother?" "Bro, he said it's good to go, bro." "Bro, he's not good to go anyway." "He's not good to go anyway." "So what do you mean?" "But did you know that he has started dating?"
Did you know that he's engaged? Did you know that he went back to enroll in school over there? Anyways.
Let's go, bro.
Long story short, that mission team was one brotherless.
Let's go, bro.
But you see, it's one thing for all of that. That's actually me. I don't like rah rah. Don't rah rah me. Show me. It's like Tebo said. Don't tell me how old you are. Show me how old you are. Let's just scatter the main session. It's 8 years in the faith. 8 years. Tell me how old you are. Show me how old you are. Look at one second leaders just tumbling. Hey. Yes, man. But you know, it's one thing to say something. It's another thing to actually do it. It's one thing to say we will evangelize the nations in our generation.
That's right.
It's another thing when they say, hey, so who's going to go to this nation? And then everywhere is quiet. Cricket. What happened to, I will go anywhere. It becomes that. But you see, anybody can say something, but backing it up with action, that's what shows true conviction.
That's right.
That's what true conviction is. You see, you want some people that have true conviction. You want some people that have true conviction. Mm-hmm. Right? It's Al-Shabaab.
Yep. Wow.
Hey,
Okay.
You want some people that have true conviction. It's ISIS. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Okay. They tell you that I'm willing to die for my cause. Mm-hmm. And they will make sure that you have no doubts about it. I don't think Kenya doubts Al-Shabaab. Does Kenya doubt Al-Shabaab?
No.
After the Westgate incident, do they doubt Al-Shabaab?
No.
When Al-Shabaab speaks now, Kenya listens. Even if it's an empty threat. Kenya doesn't treat it as an empty threat. Even if it comes out that whatever threat they sent out ends up in nothing. Nobody plays with radical Islamists.
Yeah. Wow.
Nobody questions if they really do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't end up happening.
Yeah.
Because they have put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where does that leave us as disciples, as true disciples of Jesus Christ?
Mm.
Are we just full of talk? Or is there more to us? You see, today we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 3.
Come on.
All right. We're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 3. And one of the things, in following up from last week, Nehemiah tells the people what his plan is, what God has put in his heart. And he says, hey, and the people said, look, we will build with you. We will start this good work. Actually, before we go to Nehemiah 3, you know, the people in Jerusalem made a pledge to begin rebuilding, and they didn't waste any time. They got to work immediately. Immediately, they got to work. All right, like it says, like I shared with you in Nehemiah 2 there, it says they began this good work. Have you begun the good work you're supposed to do? You know, in Proverbs, before we get to Nehemiah, be patient, we'll get to Nehemiah. In Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 verse 27, right, is a very inspiring scripture. Proverbs 3 verse 27, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you when you already have it with you. We already established that what we're doing as disciples is a good work.
Yeah.
It's a good work that God has given us to do.
Yeah.
My question is there anybody that you withheld the good work from this week?
Great question. Come on, talk about it.
If you pledged last week to start building, if you made a pledge last week to start building, to actually start building, or was he just like, let's go, bro! Woo, come on, bro! Amen, bro! And then nothing happened. I'll give you an example. You know, I talked about the encouragement from the congregation.
Come on.
Last week, Wednesday.
Come on.
Maybe that good work was postponed to next week to start. I remember I talked about when you know, I think there's a configuration we have in our minds. When is an intense lesson being preached? Let's keep our mouth shut. I shut it tight like this. No encouragement at all. You know? Has there been repentance from last week?
Ask us, bro.
Or do I have to ask the same questions again?
Great question.
Well, amen. This is the beginning of the lesson. Let's see what happens throughout the rest.
Okay.
Let's go, bro.
You know? And then, of course, this scripture here makes it clear that we should not withhold doing good, especially if it's in our power to act.
Yeah.
As disciples, we have the Holy Spirit of God within us. We have this good news. But are we sharing it? Are we keeping it to ourselves? Are we allowing our circumstances keep our mouths shut?
Great question.
You know, you have to ask yourself, what have you been withholding? Ask yourself, what have I been withholding good from this week?
That's a good question, bro.
You know, because when we choose to keep our mouths shut, whether it's in sharing our faith or it's in encouragement someone is speaking up here.
Come on.
When we refuse to open our mouths, when we say, I'm going to keep my mouth shut, right? Whether it is you refuse to, you see a discipline situation, I don't see anything. If someone should share your fruit with, I don't see anything. Someone you should follow up with, and you don't follow up. No call, no message, nothing. Or whether it is, oh, that brother is speaking, that sister is speaking, let's encourage them. Let's go, bro. Vazi. Whatever let's go is in Kiswahili. I don't know what that is.
Twende.
I don't even know if I've been hearing it, I'll have known what it is.
Hey, Twende, bro.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Right? But if we do that, if we keep our mouth shut, we're withholding ourselves from doing good. We're saying, I'm not going to do good in this situation. And of course, we know what it is. According to James verse 17, right? The sin of omission. Right? The good that you know to do, if you don't do it, what is it?
Sin.
It's as simple as that.
Talk about it.
So when we don't share our faith, when we see something that someone is doing and is wrong, and we don't disciple them, we don't point that to them, we are in sin.
Yeah.
When you sit there and you think, because you're so convicted, you rather be quiet and encourage whoever is speaking. You are also in sin as well too. Or you think, you know what, I had a long day, you know, you should be, I mean, it's one thing that I'm here already. So, you know, let it be what let it be. It's equally sin as well too.
Come on, bro.
And just so you know, we're talking about this week after week. That's the difference in itself. That's rebellion. And rebellion is worse than witchcraft.
That's true. Preach it.
Let's go, bro.
But you see right here, let's now go to Nehemiah chapter 3.
Let's go, bro.
You see, because if rebuilding the wall is a good work, then are you involved in the good work? Or are you sitting on your hands? Nehemiah told the people, this is what God has put on my heart. And they told him, hey, we are going to rebuild the wall. In chapter 3, what do we see here? Chapter 3 shows us the builders of the world. Who were those that built the world? Right? Who were those that built the world? Was it the, what are they called? The experts, the construction experts. Was it those that had that studied them architecture? Or studied quantity surveying?
Come on.
Or studied them construction studies? You know? Or building technology?
Yeah.
Who are those people? You know, who are those people that, you know, built the wall? You see right there in verse 1, right? Builders of the wall.
Come on, bro.
Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the ship gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the 100, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Ananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachor, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Asenah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Akkos, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to him, Zadok, son of Bana, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. It's quite interesting that in the builder, among the builders here, the first to put their hands to the work were the priests.
Come on.
He said, you know what, we're not going to just stand up here and act like, oh, we are the holy ones, we are the ones to lead you spiritually. Our hands are not made for that kind of hard work. Mm-hmm. The Lord has told us to just pray for you. Then you go and do it. No, the ministers are like, you know what, I'm going to go there and pick my shovel and pick my trowel as well. So I'm going to mix the cement and carry the bricks and lay it there.
Come on.
You know, another thing that I appreciate about the kingdom is, you know, I didn't go and rent an office and say, hey, you know, the Nairobi ICC office, you know, you have an issue, come to my office and meet me there and let's talk there. No. Doing what? I'm out there on campus in Bible studies. It's quite interesting that the guy was studying the Bible with today. We've been meeting with him for how many weeks now? So the guy said, you know what the guy said to me?
What did he say?
He said, are you a pastor? I said, well, the short answer to that question is yes.
Let's go, bro.
He said, hey. I said, why did you ask? He said, I didn't know you were a pastor, but when you said last week that, you know, you were going to preach on Sunday, I was like, ah. So what do you think I was? Baraka, what did he say? He said yesterday I was a fellow brother who's just really devoted to, you know,
to the work.
I was a fellow brethren who was just very devoted about, you know, just very devoted and very dedicated to just, you know, and God's word and just doing his work. I said, well, I am that too. I am a fellow brethren who is, you know, very devoted to, you know, to God's work. He said, I didn't know you were a pastor. But that says a lot.
Yeah.
Because the question is, what does he know pastors to do?
Talk about it.
From his experience, where are pastors meant to be? Mm-hmm. In the office. Yeah. You want to school man, oh pastor, I want to see you. Come to my office from 9 a.m. I'll be there. Mm-hmm. You want to see me? My office is there on the street.
We can meet
by the coffee shop there. Or gather some chairs together and meet at the back of 844.
That's true, bro.
I mean that's the new base now. Yeah. We have moved on from gazebos.
Yeah.
We've moved on to greater heights.
Yeah.
Gazebos is for Bible discussion. We've moved to somewhere else now.
Uh-huh.
It's more for out of the eyes of security. But it's not all the security that is bothering us, it's just a specific entrance.
Let's go, baby.
But our God knows our work.
Mm.
They will rotate them from that place.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Looking forward to it, bro.
Yeah, but you see verse 6. It says that the Jeshanah gate was repaired by Joiada, son of Paseah, and Meshulam, son of Besodiah. They laid its beams and put its doors with their bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah. Melatiah of Gibeon and Jadon of Meronoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Uziel, son of Arahiah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section. And Ananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Rephaiah, son of Hur, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section. Adjoining this, Jediah, son of Arumath, made repairs opposite his house. And Atush, son of Ashabeniah, made repairs next to him. Malkijah, son of Harim, and Hashub, son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Aloesh, ruler of the half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. You see, the first point here, first of all, the title of my lesson today is All Hands on Deck.
Let's go, bro!
Right, All Hands on Deck. What does that mean? Well, All Hands on Deck, for my first point, All Hands on Deck means everybody is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Among the builders of the wall of Jerusalem, you had priests, you had rulers, you had goldsmiths, you had perfume makers. In verse 1 is Eliashib, the high priest. He came down from his high position to join in the building of the wall. And guess what? He called his fellow priest, hey, my friend, will you take off your robe and come and do this work?
Yep.
right? Who else went in there as well, too? We saw, I mean, the other repairmen were there, but we also see in verse 8, one of the goldsmiths. In that same verse 8, we see Ananias, one of the perfume makers. Nobody said, oh, you know what? My work is goldsmiths, melding gold. I don't have the skill set for construction work. What's that? I make gold. When you have gold work to do, come and call me. That's my expertise.
Talk about it, bro.
He took his gold skills and hung it on the wall. It's time to get your hands dirty and get into this work. Yes. What about the perfume makers? Oh, I make perfumes. I make you smell good after you've bathed from the sweat of your construction work. No, the perfume maker left his perfume shop and went and joined in the work. And what about the rulers? I'm sure the rulers were there supervising. No.
Nope.
The rulers came down from their ruling seats.
Yeah.
And said, this work, it's part of our job as well too. Yeah. Everybody was involved.
Yeah.
To the point where it says in verse 12, Shalom, son of Aloesh, ruler of behalf of the street of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his
daughters.
Wow.
Come on, Joy.
Mutani.
Let's go.
With the help of his daughters, including sons and daughters.
Yep.
Because if they don't do it, who's going to do it?
Good question, bro.
They should go and hire builders from Egypt or from Persia. If they don't do it, who's going to do it?
Nobody.
Whose job is it to build the wall? So if you're not out there getting involved in the building, why are you waiting for to come and do it?
Talk about it.
What are you waiting for? Mm-hmm. You have this person beside you can share your faith with, you don't see anything. So who's supposed to come from? Is it my wife that come from Kilelechua? To come and share faith with the person that you are sitting beside in the Matatu to Tika Road? To Tika?
Come on, bro. Talk about it, bro.
Or is it Tebo that's living in Ngong Road? That'll come and join me all the way in which place do I know now? Which is the one? Eastland.
Come on!
Yeah,
so come and share face with the person that was sitting in the restaurant beside you in Eastland. Say, let me call Tebo. Maybe you can quickly come and can take an Uber and come and share face with this person. Is it the one that will do it?
No.
You see, if you continue on there, you see the people who also continued in the work. In verse 13, it says, the valley gate was repaired by Anun and the residents of Zanoa. They rebuilt it and put its doors with their bolts and bars in place. They also repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the dung gate. The dung gate was repaired by Malkijah, son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth Akarem. He built it and put doors with their bolts and bars in place. The fountain gate was repaired by Shalom, son of Kol-Oze, ruler of the district of Mizpah. He rebuilt it, roofing it over and putting doors and bolts and bars in place. He also repaired the wall of the pool of Siloam by the king's garden, as far as the steps going down from the city of David. Beyond him, Nehemiah, son of Azbuk, ruler of the half district of Bethzer, made repairs up to a point opposite the tombs of David, as far as the artificial pool and the house of heroes. Next to him, the repairs were made by Levites under Rehum, son of Bani. Beside him, Ashebiah, ruler of half the district of Keilah, hired out repairs of his district. Next him, the repairs were made by the fellow Levites under Benui, son of Enadad, ruler of the other half district of Keilah. This is quite interesting. The Levites, their job was to take care of the tabernacle.
Yeah.
That was their job. Was taking care of the tabernacle. Who was going to carry the Ark of Covenant? The Levites. Who was going to carry the Ark of Incense? The Levites. Who's going to carry the table where they put bread? And what's the last thing they put on that table again? The bread and the lampstand. The Levites. Who's going to fold, roll back all the... It's the Levites.
Yep.
Who's going to be in charge of the singing in the temple? It's the Levites. But they didn't say, our job is to sing. You know what? While you're doing the work, we'll be singing to encourage you. Encourage my soul. And let us journey on. So you better stop singing and come and carry this block.
That's true, bro.
Come on.
You see, everybody was engaged in the work.
Yeah.
All classes of people.
Yeah.
Whether they were priests, goldsmiths, perfume makers, Levites, rulers of city, women as well too.
Yes.
You know, if you as you go read on to the end, you see the power is just about merchants. Right? If you look at if you jump all the way down to verse 28. It says, above the horse gates, the priest made repairs, each in front of his own house. Next to them, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs opposite his house. Next to him, Shemaiah, son of Shechaniah, the guard at the east gate, made repairs. Next to him, Ananiah, son of Shelemiah, and Anon, the sixth son of Zalaf, repaired another section. Next to them, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, made repairs opposite his living quarters. Next to him, Malkijah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs as far as the house of the temple of servants, and the merchants opposite the inspection gate, and as far as the room above the corner. And between the room above the corner and the ship gate, the goldsmiths and merchants made repairs.
Wow.
It means the merchants, those people that sell vegetables and fruits, that sell chairs and tables, that sell pots and clothes, they're like, you know what? The world needs to be rebuilt. It's time for us to go and rebuild it.
Yeah.
Let's, this is my business in Gitura. It's not going to, there's nothing, nothing's going to happen if the world is not strong and standing.
That's true, bro.
So this, although, you know, so this shows us something very, very, very important.
Mm.
So no, I was not trained, you know, I've not been trained in the same way like that. You know, I don't have to do the Bible studies like Tolami and Kate can do it. Let me just sit on my own side. Let me wait for when he says he has a Bible study, or when she says she has a Bible study. Let me, okay, oh bro, sis, I can join your study then. Oh bro, let me sit in your study then.
Hey, talk about it, bro.
Preach it.
And you leave the rebuilding to who?
Yeah, talk about it.
Ask that question, bro.
It involves every single person.
That's right.
All and sundry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nobody claimed that, oh, building is not my profession.
Mm-hmm.
Construction is not my profession. What's the meaning of that? Right? They didn't claim that, like, I can't do it. No, everybody got involved.
Yeah.
What do I need to do? If I need to be in the Bible study, I will take notes.
Mm.
You know, people can get very religious. There are times when I was in Lagos recently, and I was in a Bible study, they assumed that because I'm an evangelist, I would automatically step in there and just lead the Bible study. Now, what do you think this is? Whose Bible study is this? So who was going to lead the Bible study if I was not here? This person lead the Bible study.
Let's go, bro.
Let's go, bro.
And then they all sit there, they all have their Bibles out.
Mm.
So I bring out my notepad and bring out the pen. And I'm taking notes for this person that's studying the Bible. That's when everybody's not like, oh, bro, I'll take it. I'll take the notes. So when you sat there, nobody. So if I didn't bring out the notepad, you didn't think this person studying the Bible needs notes.
That's that, bro.
One of the ways that I learned quickly was taking notes.
Yeah.
I didn't wait for the person leading the Bible study to ask, who can help us take notes? I always volunteered. Or even if the gospel where they asked, I'm like, I'll take it. And sometimes what I will try to do is, okay, I'll put some of the things that came up in that specific Bible study, some of the things that was discussed, that I thought, okay, it might be essential for this person to remember this. I'll write it down in the note as well too. I don't just copy and paste the first principles application and put it on the notebook.
Talk about it.
Come on, bro.
You thought I didn't realize that.
Come on.
You thought I wasn't looking.
Talk about it, bro.
Just open the first principles app, put it there. Take it, okay.
Let's go, bro.
All the other things that could have been helpful that I was discussed is just filters out.
Let's go, bro.
Talk about it,
but how involved are you? This rebuilding here included people's sons and daughters, people of all professions. So how involved are you? You see, these walls, the walls that they are building, were not going to rise up themselves. They're not going to just pile themselves on top of themselves and then cement to just fly. This is not Mary Poppins.
It is not, bro.
They won't just magically become solid again. Everyone needed to see that they are equally responsible for the rebuilding, irrespective of their profession. But do you see yourself as equally responsible for the rebuilding work?
Come on.
in Matthew chapter 9.
Come on, bro. This is great.
Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9 from verse 35.
Turning there.
Matthew 9 from verse 35.
Right there.
It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You see, Jesus knew the volume of work that needed to be done. And it wasn't like he was just sitting on his own, sitting on a lounge chair, enjoying the sun, and drinking, you know, some nice lemonade. He had been going through the towns and villages, yes, preaching everywhere, but then he comes again and still sees crowds. Ah! It's like, man, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Yeah. But who's going to do it? Only him?
No.
In verse 37, he says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
Yeah.
Family, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
That's true.
Have you made yourself a worker, or are you waiting for some worker to come from somewhere that, you know, the Lord will magically bring?
Yeah.
And then maybe your own job is just to be a spectator. It says here, verse 38, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Then in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them the authority to drive out the pure spirit and to heal every disease and sickness. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
In verse 35, Jesus was healing every disease and sickness.
Yeah.
Then guess what he does? In chapter 10, verse 1, he calls his disciples, hey, come here. Take. Yeah. Or go out there and do the work as well too.
Mm.
I'm sure maybe they thought, we can't do it like you can do it. Yeah, go and do the one you can do. Like the angel told Gideon, go in the strength you have.
Yep.
I'm not asking you to do it like me. I'm not asking you to do it like my wife would do it.
Yes.
But in the strength you have,
yes,
go and do it.
That's
let's go, bro.
Come on.
You know, because if not, if the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, if you don't know the concept I use of a farmer, right? There is a farmer understands that he has limited time to work. Before the rains come, he knows he has to prepare the land and everything has to be sorted. And the seeds has to be planted before the rains come. And after the rains come and the plants have grown as well, he knows he has limited time to harvest. Because if he goes to ground, if he's sleeping every day while the harvest is ripe for harvesting, you just come and find that like half of his crops have been diseased.
Yep.
He says, I found their way there. That's if his neighbor did not come and help himself to some of the harvest as well too.
Mm-hmm.
So the harvest is plentiful. But are we going to be wasting time until that harvest becomes diseased? Until the person that was open decides, and let me go and do something else. It's like you're not interested in helping me out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're going to wait for?
No.
But you see here, all hands on deck means everyone is involved.
Yes.
Let's go back to Nehemiah 3. What else does all hands on deck mean? What else does all hands on deck mean? Nehemiah chapter 3. If you look there again, right, if you see from the reading that I did, right, if you look in verse 1 and 2, we read, Eliashib, the high priest and his fellow priests, went to work and rebuilt the gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the 100, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Ananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachor, son of Imri, built next to them. You see, and you will see that pattern across the entire chapter. If you look in verse 4, it says, Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Akos, repaired the next section. So in verse 3, it was the fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Asenah. They laid his beams, They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Then it says, Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Achos, repaired the next section.
That's right.
Then it says, next to him, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, son of Meshe-Sabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Bana, also made repairs. And that was how they did the work. The person that started that was going to do the next section, next to him. Okay, I'm going to work next to him. If you see the same thing as well in verse 28, then throughout, it says there, above the house gate, the priest made repairs, each in front of his own house. Next to them, Zadok, son of Imam, made repairs opposite his house. Next to him, Shemaiah, son of Shekaniah, the guard at the east gate, made repairs. Verse 30, next to him. Verse 31, next to him. Right? Even in verse 30, you see, next to them, next to him. Next to them, next to him. What does that mean? All hands on deck means cooperation is required. Cooperation is required. Next to him. Next to him. It shows they worked side by side. Exactly. Hand in hand. Side by side.
That's true.
There was no Lone Ranger disciple.
Yep.
Commando disciple. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's no such thing in the Bible.
Yeah.
Or John Rambo. I say, our troops got run over. And this. Only one man can go there and defeat this guerrilla army. John Rambo. All the other brothers in the house, they know what I'm talking about. We enjoyed the movie. We did. We did. You know, there's a whole company of soldiers. They sent John Rambo because he's in the jungle. Then he camouflages here. He's covering himself with mud. The soldier comes, he opens his eyes. He opens his eyes. Then the boy, you know it again. He's at another part of the forest.
Yeah.
Right? With a different print on his body around the tree.
Let's go, bro.
Yeah, as I got older, I was like, At some point. It gets ridiculous at some point. Like, come on, at some point, come on. You know, but find entertaining. You see, everyone saw the need to rebuild the rebuild. Everyone saw the need to rebuild the walls, and they saw that it required working together.
That's right.
Family, if we are going to rebuild the walls here in Nairobi, we need to work together.
That's right.
Side by side, hand in hand. Yes, I've said, okay, everybody's involved. I need to go out there and go in the strength I have. Yes, go in the strength you have. But remember that you are working with other people as well, too.
Come on.
Bro, sis, man, I have this person who wants to study the Bible. Are you available? Can you join in? Oh, no, I'm sorry, I can't. But ask this brother, I should be free to be able to join you. Oh, okay. Pam, 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 pam. Bro, this person is studying the Bible as long as them this far. You know, can you please come in and just make sure that, you know, all they understand it. I have to make sure that I'm not going and teaching my own gospel. Yeah, even Paul did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I came to Jerusalem to meet the leaders. I said, look, this is what I've been teaching. Because I wanted to make sure I'm not teaching my own gospel.
Yeah.
But that's what working together, that's what the cooperation is. Yeah. But do we have the hearts to do that?
Come on.
Is that something that we need to have the hearts to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You see, working side by side means you see that your work is not more important than the next person's work.
Mm-hmm.
My study is not more important than your study.
Yeah.
There isn't that kind of mindset. You know? And one person was not trying to sabotage the other person's work. I'm going to make your work. I'm going to, you know, when I want, I'm going to make sure that, you know. No. They worked together because they understood that, man, if this wall is standing, it protects all of us.
Yeah.
And if we work together to make sure that, okay, every person we make that's being made into a disciple is being made into a disciple. We know that, okay, when the devil comes knocking, there's no weak area on the wall.
Yeah.
Everyone is solid.
Preaches.
Working together and united on convictions.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's what we said there. Right? Eliashib led the way in the work as the priest, which is the way it should be. But it's interesting here, Elisha goes to go and build another wall, another section of the wall. But then we learn that in verse 28, actually, what was the verse? In verse, let me see. In verse 21, he said, because look, in verse 1, we see Eliashib, right? He goes to build the ship gate, gives his heart to it. But look at what happens in verse 21. Next to him, Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Akos, repaired another section from the entrance of Eliashib's house to the end of it. Eliashib didn't say, hey, who's going to build the section of the wall in front of my house? Let me do the one in front of my house. He went to give his heart where he needed to give his heart. And because of the side-by-side cooperation, the part in front of his house was taken care of. People saw that, hey, the priests are walking over there. Who's going to build the part in front of their house?
Come on.
And that cooperation is what showed that people trusted one another. They worked together to be able to do it. So I'm sure Eliashib did his work, and his mind was at ease because he knew that, okay, wherever it's done, it is. To build the section in front of his house, they will do a good job there as well too. But that's what working side by side builds. It builds trust.
Talk about it.
That's what cooperating builds. It builds that working with all your heart and working at ease as well too.
Yes.
There were also those who built the section in front of their houses too. That means their wall, their house is here. This is the wall. Which means if there's no wall, and they are attacked, whose house is first to be attacked?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how well will you build that wall in front of your house? If you know that, if this wall is not here, an attack comes, I'm the first meat.
Yeah.
You better believe they build that thing very well.
That's true, bro.
But how much are we giving our hearts to building the work? How much are we giving our hearts to working together? If you look in verse 20, you also see something interesting. It says, next to him, Baruch, son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section from the angle to the entrance of the house of Eliashib the high priest. What was the demeanor, the attitude of Baruch while he was working?
Zealous.
I don't know any popular Kenyan song. I whistled it. But that's how zealous he is.
Come on, bro.
Right? How much excitement do you show in the rebuilding? How much excitement do you show in the work? I want to commend you as well, too.
Let's go, bro.
I want to commend you. When I hear the good news, you know, I'm encouraged. Like, you know, I mean, amen. You know, I'm having guests. You know, yes, guests. You know, coming out, guests. Coming out, you know, guests to Bible talk, guests to church. You know, I want to go after it. And their consistent Bible studies. Just to encourage you, this is not how it was in January.
Absolutely not, bro.
Come on.
We all know. Hey. You and I all know. Devil was not here, but I was here. We all know how it was like in January.
Yeah, bro.
Was it like this in January?
No.
No, it was not. So I'm very proud of every one of you.
Woo!
You know? But let's not, thank you. Thank you, man. But, you know, let's not just rest on our laurels.
That's right.
And even myself, I have to challenge myself, like, man, I need to get, I start constantly having guests out to church. You know? And to, I was like, okay, I've had one. Now to have two. So last week, I went after having two guests to church.
Come on, bro.
You know, and thankfully, I had two guests out to church.
Woo!
Because obviously, if I'm going to call you to go out and share your faith, if I'm going to call you to have guests out to church, you know, I mean, I'm not saying this is the kind of person you are, but if you're not bringing the guests out to church, maybe there's some part of you that might ask a question. I know, but most likely, you'll be like, ah, no, that's not. But you may wonder, where is the evangelist guest?
Yes.
It stands up there and, you know, he's always reading all these scriptures on us. Where are his own friends that he's bringing to church?
Hi.
I brought my guests over to him. Like I said, I know you know you're golden hearted disciples. That thought doesn't want to come in your mind. You know, but I don't want to give the devil a foothold. So if I want to call you to do something, I'm gonna do it myself as well too. To be able to have guests out, to messages of the body. Amen.
Amen.
Now, family, how zealous are we in doing the job? How much excitement do we show when we're doing the work? When we're sharing our faith. You know, how much excitement do we even show? How much zeal do we show as we're doing the work? Right? Is it evident that you're fired up in doing the work? Or are you just making up the numbers? Are you just making sure that, you know, you don't get left out? Or it doesn't look like you're not doing your own, you're not bringing your own numbers in. This is not about numbers, family. It's about the heart. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 11. Right? It's not about numbers, it's about the heart. Romans 12, verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11. It says, never be lacking in zeal.
That's true.
Let me say that part again. Maybe you're reading with me. Never be lacking in zeal.
Amen.
Come on.
That's right.
One more time.
Come on, Talani.
I don't think you understand the concept of reading the scripture.
Come on, bro.
Let's go, bro.
Never be lacking in zeal. I've taken a little longer, but I'm glad you got there.
Amen.
I'm glad you got the message. Right? But keep your spiritual favor serving the Lord.
Woo.
And you have to ask yourself, in what area do you lack zeal? In what area do you lack zeal? Is it on the way to church? Do you lack zeal? Because the Bible says never be lacking in zeal. Is it when you wake up in the morning?
Talk about it.
Is it when you're calling that person that wants to study the Bible online and you're praying they don't answer the phone because you're tired?
I've been there.
See, let me tell you something. I've been there.
It's real.
That person said, let's have person at this time, and you pick up the phone. and you press dial. And as you're ringing, boom, boom, they're like, don't pick.
Wow, talk about it.
And then they don't pick. You know what happens to me? When they don't pick, I get convicted. I'm like, there's been times as they didn't pick, I'm like,
the Lord has encouraged me.
The Lord has said I should rest.
Ooh, but I can relate to that.
As God helped me to get spiritual, I was like, I get convicted. I'm like, like that's, so I call them again. After I call them again, then I might get concerned. This guy is not picking his phone.
Uh-huh.
And I'll send a text message.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say I'm calling, I'm telling, maybe I call them on WhatsApp. But they don't answer. I call them direct call.
Yeah.
They don't answer. I'll send them a direct text message, not WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. WhatsApp might give me a single tick or something. Send a direct text message.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get to their phone, they will see it.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And sometimes, as I put the phone down, and I settle in to enjoy maybe a little show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
When you sit on that chair and just cross that leg like, maybe I have some time for myself.
Yes.
My next appointment is in an hour 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then next thing, yeah. Zzz. And you're like, Bible study calling.
Let's go, bro. I can
remember
that. Let's go,
bro. Amen.
Yes, open, bro.
It's time to give our hearts.
Let's go.
Amen.
If that's happened to me,
yeah, me too, bro.
I can give my leg to say that that's happened to you too.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice, bro.
Yes.
Very, very much. So when do you lack zeal?
Come on.
Great question.
Is it in follow up? If I follow up now.
Yeah.
When are you lacking in zeal?
Mm-hmm.
Is it in church on Sunday when you thought, men, my guest is coming? They've told me they are coming. And then fellowship break, they don't come. Sorry, Joy. When you see someone shake their head, doing the lesson, you know that that one hits.
Yes.
You know, it's when you thought I have a guest, and they told you I'm coming. Even on Sunday morning, they told you I'll be there.
That's true.
And then you waited, you said at least before fellowship break they will show up.
Mm.
Fellowship break comes and passes. They don't show up.
Mm.
You said, okay, maybe before the lesson ends, maybe I'll just look back and they'll be there somewhere.
Mm.
And you keep looking. You know, maybe I'll be here singing. You know, every person that's, as a leg comes through that door, you think maybe it's them. Oh, no, it's not them. And it's just on every end, and we cannot understand.
Come on.
And then somewhere around the end of communion, you give up.
Yeah.
You're not coming. Maybe even before communion, you're not coming.
Ah.
And they start lacking in zeal.
Yep.
Or you even be lacking in zeal from when they've not arrived.
That's true. Talk about it.
When do you lack in zeal?
Mm-hmm.
You see, this point here in Nehemiah 3, this stage where they were at, is a stage where everyone needed to be active.
Yeah.
Everyone needed to be involved.
Yes.
Everyone had a part to play.
Yes.
And everyone needed to play their part.
Mm.
And family, that's what we are as a church.
That's true.
There's no, like, the one thing I love about the kingdom, it's not like all these churches out there. In God's church, there's no evangelism team.
That's true.
That's true.
Every disciple is the evangelism team.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no prayer warriors.
No.
Every disciple is a prayer warrior.
That's right.
There's no choir. Oh, these are the choir. That's why we have song leaders. There's no choir. The song leaders lead the congregation in singing, which means they are up here to lead you in singing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Not for you to listen and be like, No, it's to lead you in singing. There's no choir.
Yes.
Richard.
There's no welfare team.
Mm-hmm.
Every disciple is welfare team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which other unit is there again?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
I know. I'll try that one. That one. This. You know, but it has to be, if the need is there for you to step up there and usher. Yeah, get ready to go there and usher as well too.
Yeah.
You know, even when it gets to the point, there'll be ushering and security.
Mm.
Right? There's some people that, and the brothers and sisters from the ICC, they know this. By the time the church gets to a point, there's some people that their role is security. They stand in front of Kids Kingdom, protecting your kids to make sure nothing happens.
Mm.
They don't live there. While you're enjoying the service and doing all the singing, somebody's out there, but it's the same way that people in the Kids Kingdom are taking care of the kids.
Mm.
I haven't really got to the point where there are people in the car park that are watching over the cars during the service.
Wow.
Yeah, I need to go to that point.
Oh,
okay.
But that's not the stage that we are at.
Amen.
That will no, Abby. That one, no, they shouldn't ask you to do it. Oh, no, I don't want to be out there. Hopefully, we'll see. Let the time come if you are still here by that time. We'll see. But you see, family, that's not the stage where we are.
Yeah.
Right? The stage where we are is here and now.
Yeah.
In the Bible here, in the book of Nehemiah, what did you learn? Nobody claimed that, oh, my skill set is different.
Yeah.
You know, my work is goldsmith. My work is merchant. My work is, you know, perfume maker. I'm the priest. I'm the Levite. Oh, I'm a woman, so I can't do this work. There was nothing like that in the
That's
Bible.
True.
Yeah. That's right.
Because everybody understood.
Yeah.
Nobody said, oh, I'm not strong enough, I'm not brave enough. No. Everybody was involved.
That's right.
Because they understood that at this stage, it's all hands on deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not the stage to make excuses.
Yeah.
It was not the stage to make, to tell stories.
No.
Stories that touch. Something I have in Nigeria is stories that touch. It was not the time to tell stories. Oh, you know, but you know, and I know, and we know. Nothing like that. It was the time to put your hands to the plow.
Yeah.
It was time to put your hands to work.
Yeah.
Because family, to rebuild the kingdom of God requires everybody.
That's right.
It requires us to work side by side.
Yeah.
It requires all hands to be on deck.
That's
thank
true.
You, and to God be the glory. So, you know, that's pretty much what I wanted to share with us today. Maybe we can take some time to just kind of like, you know, share our thoughts. Take a minute to ruminate on the lesson. I think it's time to share our thoughts. Give it a think and just, you know, hey, this is what I learned. These are the changes I want to make. I will share the changes I want to make as well too. The changes I want to make, I want to be able to make sure that I am ultra involved in the rebuilding. So yeah, take a minute to go over your notes. What? In fact, you know what? I'm willing to give this away if anybody wants it.
What?
My notes.
I'm not here.
It's okay. I've been carrying around a couple of. Yes. Sorry? Ecclesiastes. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, don't forget to review. I have some of my lessons from last year. Some of my older lessons. So to be able to make sure nobody feels aggrieved, I can share. I make sure there's enough to share around, depending on what you want. So I have Finishing Strong from late last year. I have What a Miraculous Year from December last year. I have Are You Ready to See a Miracle from December last year as well. I have Chosen for a Blessing from January this year. I have Wrestling for a Blessing from the workshop. And I think that's it. Oh, and I have a lesson for Married Disciples, the marriage class, the first marriage class. So let me know which one you would like to have. Finishing Strong. Yes, Joy. Trusting for a blessing. I'm left with What a Miraculous Year and Wrestling for a Blessing. Okay. So, the last one I have here is a marriage class. I also have copies of Classic Expressions of Pride. If you've misplaced yours, is it the Classic Expressions of Pride? You don't know it? You do. When you read it, you realize you know it. See, I have 3 copies of it for anybody that wants it.
Okay. Come on, bro.
Instead, I was like, let me shred it and throw it out. I was like, let me ask. If nobody wants it, then I will shred it and throw it out. All right. So, yes, if anybody still wants Classic Expressions of Pride, I have some of them, 2 copies here. So, I guess everybody has theirs. Fantastic. Okay, so we can open it up. Anybody would like to share what they learned, what was helpful, what was not helpful? Aha, did I whisper?
Amen.
Good
morning, brothers.
Good morning.
First and foremost, I want to apologize for not shouting. One thing I have a problem with my throat.
Oh.
I'm working on it, and it's really my shout. Number two, I want to agree with you 100% with today's class. Just to see that you helped me to see that this work is not going to be done by one person.
Yes.
I need to be responsible where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And true to what you've taught us, I'm reminded so much as I am disciple how we had so many small Bible talks.
Mm-hmm.
And out of these small Bible talks, honestly, when I've led many people, and when they would go, they would go and have their own talks with people,
mm-hmm.
have their own study, different people. Camp Sunday, it was so amazing.
Mm.
It was so amazing because it's like when we baptize this group,
yes.
we want to be baptized next week, like that.
Mm.
And just to see that with what you've taught me today, if I'm going to put it in practice, and my brothers and sisters also, it will be like if Brian is baptized Sunday,
mm-hmm.
next Sunday
so
someone else is going to be baptized. Like, mm-hmm. Come on. And you've helped me to see that these people, the way they're working is amazing.
Mm.
It's like this one reaches here, the other one. And it's exactly what is happening right now as I am church.
Mm-hmm.
If we are going to work like what Nehemiah is doing here,
mm-hmm.
man, it's like there will be a lot of work that we will not even know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good, it's a plus to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll grow faster.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, actually, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, man, this cannot be preached this way. It goes just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking it personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I know like what Mary shared. We've been talking like, no, this cannot continue. You know, it's like, you know, when you see that and they're like, here is Zendelea. We know what to do. What are
Zendelea.
We waiting for?
Zendelea.
And I just thank God so much because it's like every time you stand there, you're there to help us to become better and better.
Amen.
The fewer of us. Mm. And my friends, amen.
Amen.
Come on,
serious part. Clank the clank. Yes, of course, Kaka James.
Come on, Uncle James.
Let me say, it is like an independent day. for those who understand what we are talking about, thank you very much for today's class. What you have helped us to see or to understand, wherever we are coming from,
mm-hmm.
we need to start building from where we are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are coming from Kilimani, that wall of Kilimani,
mm-hmm.
that wall of Kasarani,
mm-hmm.
that wall of Kitengela.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you are going to put into practice what you have taught today,
mm-hmm.
come every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
actually, we are going to have those who, you know, in ICOC, we used to say predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are hot,
mm-hmm.
those who are coming up, you know, and in every stages,
mm-hmm.
you have those people that you are coming.
Yes.
If it is every week baptizing,
mm-hmm.
it is going to happen.
Amen.
We are going to have many people.
Mm-hmm.
Even myself, ourselves, we are going to be very busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just waiting for a study to join, you know, maybe it has not happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now things just collapses like that. But when you have many people who are coming, you know, sometimes in your list, now whom am I going to meet today, at what time, it just keeps you busy the whole day.
Exactly.
And by doing this, I can now see many people are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you very much. Even today I was just talking to that friend who came, Kevin.
Yes.
You know, he didn't come for the next two Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just backtracking with him, just reminding him when we did that seeking God.
Yes.
Just to remind him of what the way he was confessing and
mm-hmm.
whatever he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, from today,
mm-hmm.
I'll not stop coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have also several ones. So that I was just reaching out to them.
Mm.
And I think by, you know, God's willing, maybe, you know, you are the referee. So when you are called to Mwiki, just whatever, you want to give a referee a lot of job.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You know, if you show Kevin that Matthew 21 scripture, that parable of the two sons, Say, I will do it. I will do it. No, you did not do it.
Yes.
You should show me that scripture. Matthew 21, verse 20-30.
Yes.
Okay, let's do that are Mary, and then we'll do Brian and Jiku. Hey, sorry.
Yeah, thank you so much for the class. It was encouraging just to see how these people are working side by side. Honestly, there are times when I come to church, I'm like, you guys are really working in campus. What are we doing in here? Because you come here sharing. I'm like, what am I doing in Choka? Yeah, and I think I joined studies, yes, but it is also good when I am out. I'm doing my own side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when it comes to encouragement, I don't want to call it making noise. Honestly, I can't call you bro. I don't know. According to, if I call you bro, it is hard. So I'm always trying to look for. What
you say? Should I say, come on, Baba Kayla? I'm like, you can just say 20. 20, just 20, it's fine.
So I think what to refer to when you are preaching, it's what has been so hard. Also, us Kenyans, we are raised.
Yes.
For a priest, an evangelist,
yes,
is something somebody you really need to respect. Yeah, so even in ICOC.
Yes.
It wasn't even just calling. We had evangelists.
Yes.
It was not. We couldn't call them with their names.
Really?
Yeah, you call evangelists so and so.
We're gonna have a problem. We're going to have a problem.
Not in a bad way, because my evangelist was called Samson Kaya.
Uh-huh.
That way and say hi, Samson.
Oh, wow.
We're going to have a problem.
So I'm learning.
Okay.
When I came here, it's a learning lesson.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying my best. There are times I told my husband, I want us to practice. Can you imagine your
Amen.
We are learning.
Okay.
Don't look at it like disrespect or rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think when God said, come on, bro. I want to say, come on, bro. I'm like, no,
don't
let me.
Bro.
So we are going to work our best.
Amen.
It's part of our prayer. It's part of my prayer. That I don't know why it doesn't come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way you want, when you say, you are not even saying it now. I want to say it, and I'm like, which name will I use?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what I really need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you're sharing the way these people work together to the end, I think the meeting we had on Saturday,
yes,
I really felt encouraged,
mm-hmm,
and I felt ashamed that Auntie Kate is crying for help.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said it's high time I build the wall on my side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as much as I'm busy, we have studies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did study with RISPA. There are some point I was thinking, this one I don't even know what to do. But I'm like, God is going to help at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it went well because RISPA had some very good notes from the classes you are doing at the midweek. Very good notes. She didn't miss anything.
Oh,
she wrote even the jokes.
Come on, that's a RISPA.
That I wrote myself when Antiquette was studying.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even miss a full stop.
Come on, Sister Mary. Yes.
That table was full.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched on and say what Antiquette says, what I say. Yeah, so thank you so much. You have really encouraged me to just build my side, and we are going to do our best.
Amen.
By the time you're calling Antiquette, it's going to be counting costs.
Amen. Woo! Woo! Okay, before Brian speaks, I think I wanted to just thank you for sharing, Sister Mary.